Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, today we are going to be talking about Iran, because I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, but there have been mysterious, quote unquote, accidents that have been going on there, with things just all of a sudden blowing up, going on fire, explosions, blasts. What's going on in Iran? I tell you that this has been happening for the last several weeks, at least, and how, you know, each time one of these things happens, they're many times making excuses that, oh, it was a natural occurrence. Oh, well, this thing got too hot and it exploded, or nothing exploded at all. We don't know what you're talking about. There seems to be a belief that either Israel or the United States are setting off these little mini attacks on Iran's strategic infrastructure, especially where it has to do with developing nuclear, not nuclear power, but nuclear weapons. And I'm wondering, with all of these things happening, how much longer Iran is going to swallow this without making a huge reaction. Now, Iran has made attacks against Israel through sabotage of our water supply, through cyber attacks on Israel. So they have not been taking this lying down. And again, I don't know if Israel's doing this or not. There's been no official statement saying something like that. But we all know that Iran yells death to Israel, death to America. We all know that they are also gearing up for nuclear weapons, because they want to bring in and return their Persian Empire, their great Persian Empire, at the detriment of the West and Israel, their sworn enemies, the ones that they burn their flags. They burn the Israeli flag. They burn the American flag. What's going to go on with this? We'll be right back, and we're going to tell you.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
New shows are posted every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, highlighting the lighter side and advancing a positive view of Israel here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Boom. That's the sounds that we're hearing coming out of Iran as we see mysterious explosive, quote unquote, accidents in Iran. Just this last week, we saw at least seven ships catching fire in a southern Iranian port. We've seen explosions, blasts, and other, quote unquote, accidents at power stations in Iran, military bases, petrochemical factories, an automobile industry factory owned by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. And then there was an enormous blast near Iran's capital, Tehran, which ripped apart a building believed to be used to develop and test centrifuges for uranium enrichment. All of these explosions that we're reading about in the news are just some of the mysterious happenings that are going on in the last several months in Iran. Now, some people believe that these quote-unquote accidents were covert actions by Israel or the United States. Some people are even saying, I think that these are the conspiracy theorists, are trying to blame Israel. And I'm not saying Israel's not to blame, I don't know, but they're saying that the USA and Israel want to goad Iran now into a war instead of waiting until later. Our guest is Aaron Bronstein. He's a former U.S. service officer. He's worked in Washington, Egypt, Tunisia, and Muslim West Africa for 30 years as part of the United States Foreign Service. Today, he heads the Jewish Covenant Alliance, and you can visit his website at covenantalliance.org.
Pleasure to be back on the air with you, Tamar.
Aaron, all of these mysterious explosions, some of them, Iran says that they happened naturally by accident, and some of them, they're even denying that it ever happened at all. Where do you see all this going?
Well, you know, this is a very, very difficult period, especially difficult period, because of one major factor that everybody is contemplating and trying to adjust to. The great American democracy is going to have elections in November, and that's only a few short months from now. And everybody is, excuse me, it's catching. And everybody is trying to maneuver in the Middle East based on what might be the outcome of that election, and elections, actually, because the Congress, House of Representatives, and one-third of the Senate are up for grabs as well. Right now, the Republicans control the U.S. Senate and the presidency, of course. But if President Trump is defeated, then all kinds of other factors come into play. And for me, and for what I believe for Israel and the West and the world, the issue of Iran is primary. So you have the Ayatollahs in Iran, the leadership of Iran, trying to keep some kind of control of the Revolutionary Guards, so that the situation doesn't explode before November, in the hope, their hope, that Trump will be defeated and they'll have a whole new ball game with former Vice President Biden. And Israel, too, is making a calculation about Iran. The essential factor is Iran is moving closer and closer from nuclear capability to actually putting together their first bomb. There's some disagreement among the experts as to whether it's a few months or closer to a year. The recent explosion at the nuclear facility in Natanz has put them back somewhat. That was an explosion that took out their state-of-the-art centrifuges for producing nuclear material. So it's hard to know, of all the explosions you mentioned, and as you said, there have been many, how many are, if any, are the result of actions by Israel, and how many by the internal anti-Ayatollah, anti-regime forces. And these are, in the entire Gulf area, the Gulf area of Iran, these are areas populated by Arabs, oppressed Arabs by the Ayatollah regime. We've talked about that on a number of occasions. Israel has been very active, as reported in the media. The Stuxnet cyber attack back in 2009, 2010, the targeting of nuclear scientists in 2010, 2012. There has been an exchange of cyber attacks between Israel and Iran, according to reports. I used to have classified secret information as a Foreign Service officer, but not anymore. I retired 23 years ago and am still very, very active on the geopolitical front, especially in the Middle East, in terms of ideas, in terms of thinking through the issues that confront Israel and the entire world. You know, Europe may think that we're alone in this, but hopefully they will not be rudely awakened to the reality of the world.
So, Aaron, let me just ask you this. So we're looking at all of these quote-unquote accidents happening. Some of them, Iran's even denying that it even happened. Right. And others, they're saying that there are natural causes for the accidents. The building is old, you know, things. The wiring wasn't so good. But You're saying that this could be, perhaps, we don't know, the United States. It could be Israel. Or it could even, now you're saying it could even be revolution by the people of Iran who want to overthrow their own government. But my question is to you, if indeed it is that, and they're getting perhaps help from the West or from Israel, this has to be a very well-planned and polished revolution that we're seeing there. Because this looks like, I mean, to me, I would imagine super, super professional, like, you know, Mossad or CIA people doing something like this. So what do you have to say about that?
Right. Well, I think part of the answer will be in the next episode of Tehran, this series that will air this evening again, the Israeli-produced series on Tehran, the how Israel... Israel's secret services are active in a big way. You see, the Iranians don't want to reach an explosive confrontation with Israel or with the United States in the Gulf. And I say Arabian Gulf and not Persian Gulf.
And why don't they? We're going to a break in another minute, so I want to finish this up. Why don't they?
For the very simple reason that they're waiting to see Donald Trump defeated in November and don't want a war now. And the fear that maybe Israel and eventually maybe even America would want a confrontation now sooner rather than later. And the Iranian regime, there are elements in it, especially the Revolutionary Guard, that would like to respond in a very forceful way, as they did against Saudi Arabia. Number one, they don't want an explosion before November, an explosion with Israel, with America. They're hoping that everything will change to their advantage in November. So why take the bait? Mm-hmm. Maybe it is bait. Maybe it isn't. Mm-hmm. To produce something sooner rather than later. And this could also play out in terms of American politics. It's, calculations are running back and forth, thinking it's running back and forth between Washington and Jerusalem to see how this period gets played. And not only that, what happens between November and January before the new, whoever the new president is, whoever the president is in January, inauguration in January, anything could happen between November and January.
So this is very interesting, and people should take note, if you're going to vote Democrat, that who are your allies, who are your friends in the world going to be? And these are not cultures that value freedom. So they should keep an eye on that. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we get back, we're going to continue talking about the news, the left-wing demonstrations here in Israel, and the coronavirus. All of this when we get back.
Hi, Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintó from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintó, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about the news, what's going on in Iran, these mysterious explosions. We're going to be talking about the left-wing demonstrations going on here in Israel and, of course, the coronavirus. Our guest is Aaron Bronstein. He's a former U.S. service officer. He's worked in Washington, Egypt, Tunisia, and Muslim West Africa for 30 years as part of the United States Foreign Service. Today, he heads the Jewish Covenant Alliance, and you can visit his website at covenantalliance.org. Welcome to the show here, Aaron. And just to close the topic of what's going on in Iran, we had established that it's believed, we don't know, because no one's taking credit for it, that these mysterious explosions in Iran are caused either by Israel or the United States, Israel, and a movement in Iran itself that wants to see this corrupt regime taken down. And perhaps it's a conglomeration of all three working together. We don't know. And that we said that it's believed that there may want the West and Israel may want to see a war happen, if it's going to happen, because Iran is the one that's making the overtures. Iran is the one that doesn't want to live in peace with the West. They're the one who are screaming, death to America, death to Israel, burning our flags. It's not Israel. You don't see that happening in Israel. You don't see it happening in the United States. So if they're going to go to war, then the West says, you know, or Israel says, then we're going to decide, not you. And they're trying to push them into a war now before Trump is out of office. And that's what we're looking at, yes?
Yes, yes. And I think you also have to keep in mind that Iran in the Middle East has many options. It has many tentacles out there. And it could respond to these kinds of initiatives. Some of them may just be accidents, as the Iranians say, but they don't want to admit to direct confrontation with Israel. They're waiting for the presidential elections in the States. But they have options in Iran. I mean, options in Iraq. They could provoke a situation in Iraq that would be difficult for the West to reply to. And in Saudi Arabia. Look, there was already an attack on the oil refineries, oil production in Iran in Saudi Arabia by Iran. And the response was very mild from Saudi Arabia, from the United States, et cetera, and all these tankers being abducted, et cetera. So Iran still has many options short of provoking a war. And so does the West.
Let me throw into the equation here, Aaron, that there's just been some type of military agreement between Iran and China now. Also, we see that China is not too happy with the United States. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend, as they say. So what are we seeing there?
Yeah, the Iranians are desperate for an agreement with China, an agreement that on the face of it could be very disadvantageous for Iran from an economic perspective. The Chinese will want control of whatever they invest in, and they feel they can get it because Iran doesn't have very much of a negotiating many negotiating cards.
So what is Iran giving to China for this?
Well, it could be the construction of facilities that Iran will have some kind of power over, civilian, maybe even military facilities.
You mean China, that China would have power over?
In Iran itself. Mm-hmm. And this is very troubling for the United States and the West. I think the geopolitical thinking is very correct in the United States and in Israel, and much less so elsewhere. An agreement has to the actual, from the signing of an agreement to its actual implementation, a lot of water will flow through the Straits of Hormuz out of the Gulf before it becomes actual. And what we're dealing with now is a situation that is short term, very short term, in terms of the confrontation between Iran's confrontation with the Arab world and with Israel. Let's not forget, their real objective is to take over the Muslim world. They want Shiism to be restored to glory. And their confrontation with Saudi Arabia is ideological and religious, theological, you name it. And I always say the Iranians are asking themselves whether the road to Jerusalem first passes through Mecca and Medina. In other words, they would solidify their control of the Muslim world by showing that power succeeds, and more power concedes even better, or whether the road to Mecca and Medina passes first through Jerusalem. Confront Israel. Show that you're the only guardian of the Muslim world against the infidels. And then Mecca and Medina falls into their control. It doesn't have to be military occupation, not direct military occupation, falls under their control like a piece of rotten fruit. Mm. So all these calculations are going on in the Middle East, and the struggle is between Israel, the West, and Iran is and the Sunni world against the Shia extremism, headquartered in Tehran. This confrontation is of epic proportions.
Wow. And now maybe China. So
outside of.
Looking at that, and I want to take a look now at what's going on in Israel, and that is these recent left-wing demonstrations against the prime minister. They can't get the prime minister out of office by voting him out because too many people want him in. We just had elections. They can't get the prime minister out of office by throwing these, in my opinion, ridiculous court cases against him because they're so minor. Because he accepted some presents. It's ridiculous. And the third thing now is they're trying to do what they're doing in the United States, and that is if you can't get him out by the voting booth, then get him out by destroying the country, marching in the streets. So now we don't have the violence that's going on like we see in America, but we have lately these left-wing demonstrations where they're making a huge amount of noise. They're blowing horns and sirens and all sorts of these noisemakers that people can't sleep, demanding the resignation of Prime Minister Netanyahu. So what do you see happening there?
Yes, I think many of the demonstrators are very legitimate in their grievances. There is a very difficult situation with regard to how to deal with the corona epidemic in Israel and pandemic in the world. But what's happened is that these legitimate demonstrations have been co-opted by a radical fringe and people who do not accept the democratic decision of the people of Israel, the overwhelmingly democratic decision of the Israeli people for a unity government. with a huge majority. And so they're piggybacking on legitimate grievances about the economic future of much of the country to raise the same charges about criminality and who knows what. That will be decided in the courts. We're not going to decide it. The court process will last a year or two. And in the meantime, the people of Israel have voted through the coalition process for Benjamin Netanyahu as prime minister and Benny Gantz as replacement prime minister. So the media, of course, is giving play to those who scream the loudest. You know, the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Well, the squeaky wheel gets the coverage in the media. So we're hearing, even on television here, the claims, attacks against Bibi, not because of the economic measures that are being proposed, the nature of the economic measures, whether they're the best approach or not the best approach in order to save the economy, you hear the consistently cries of send the criminal home. So what is it? Are they concerned about Corona, or they don't want to accept the vote of the majority?
I don't know how getting him out of office, though, is going to help people.
It's not clear who the ringleaders are.
Right, but Aaron, how is getting Netanyahu to resign now going to help the economy when he's brought the economy to such a better place than we ever were?
Yes, it's just the opposite. It will further complicate the economic situation. And let us not forget that Israel went into phase one of the corona in a very, very good economic situation, thanks in large part to the leadership of Benjamin Netanyahu over 10 years.
Okay, hold that thought, Aaron. We have to go to another break. We're going to be right back. And we're also going to be talking about the coronavirus as it's hitting Israel as well. We'll be right back.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
The mysterious explosive accidents in Iran. Also, the left-wing demonstrations happening here in Israel trying to oust Netanyahu. They couldn't do it through the voting booth. They're trying now to make him and convince him to resign. How that's going to help Israel and our situation here with the coronavirus and the economy, et cetera, I do not know. But that's the left wing. It's just say they don't care. Just like in America, they want Trump out and they don't care. Here, the left wing is working to get out the prime minister. And the coronavirus, the government has to make some difficult decisions now in order to balance the economic factor versus our population getting sick and, God forbid, dying. Now, granted, Israel's death rate here has been extremely low compared to other countries and also the amount of people. We're a country of about around 9 million people with only 300 and some that have succumbed to the coronavirus. And, of course, every life is precious. However, when you look at just pure numbers, we're doing pretty well. But we're seeing, again, left-wing elements trying to ride the wave of the corona to their prize. They're using the economic downfall, just like in the United States, with the financial hits against it, in order to stir up people who have been hit to use them as pawns in order to put them into power. So, saying all of that, Aaron, where would you like to take us?
Well, let me just start off by mentioning that in terms of my training and an academic background, I not only have a first master's from the University of Paris in international relations, but I also have a second master's from the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health in Baltimore. And I've been dealing with health factors for the U.S. government and health development issues throughout the world, primarily in Africa, during my career. And now in retirement, to be able to look at the situation and understand maybe a little bit better than the average person what's going on. I should mention that Johns Hopkins and its School of Public Health in the forefront of academic reaction and dealing with this pandemic. They're very strong in biostatistics. And we're hearing that in the news almost every day. Johns Hopkins gives out the following figures, and the whole world reports it. So I'm very proud of my alma mater. The situation, as you said, is very, very difficult for any political leadership to deal with. It's being pulled on the one hand by the professional, health professional forces in the country, and they're very notable on the one hand, but on the other hand, by the economic sector that has so much economic and political clout. I mean, it's one thing to come up with a program that's not advisable by the health people. It's a totally other matter to come up with a program that's going to destroy a whole sector of the economy. And the prime minister, the government, the unity government, let's not forget that, has to balance out these two forces. And I feel the balance has been a little too much to the side of the economic threat of the epidemic here in Israel. And in fact, the government has so much admitted that, opening up a little too soon, not realizing that the population of Israel is not as dutiful and taitani in Hebrew, following orders as other populations in the world. And you have people out there saying, no, it's all a bluff, which is absolutely absurd. It is an extremely serious, virulent attack on the very body of the state of Israel, the coronavirus. And it has to be dealt with in terms of as you would deal with any other war that Israel has confronted. And it's been doing a good job. You usually get statistics in Israel in the media of up to close to 400 deaths so far. But that doesn't distinguish between phase one and phase two. In phase two, the number of deaths, and every death, as you said, is a loss of an entire world. But the deaths, that said, the deaths since the start of the second phase of this has been just about a little over 100. The real danger is that the health services will collapse as the morbidity, as opposed to mortality, as the morbidity, the degree of sickness goes up and goes up exponentially, you know, 2, 4, 8, 16, and pretty soon you're in danger of reaching a situation that is uncontrollable. We're not there yet. And there have been calls by people in the health sector, and even some politicians, I've heard, have had the courage to say, maybe what we need is a 2 to 3 week total shutdown to nip this thing now while it's controllable, and then go from there. Everybody in the economy need to further hunker down, and the government is trying to ease the burden.
Let me interrupt you here because I have a question, yes. And that is two things. One, if they do that, that would surely help a lot. On the other hand, businesses may, even more people may go bankrupt from such a closure, all right? Because I'm wondering, maybe it's just better. I mean, the first time I understand, because they didn't want to overwhelm the hospitals and have a huge death toll here. I understand the first complete lockdown. But I'm wondering now if it's better that they just tell older people like me, I'm 60 years old, and anybody else who is susceptible because they have existing medical conditions where they're very susceptible, just, you know, you guys stay home, but the economy has to go on, and anybody who's afraid of this thing should just stay home and have your kids shop for you and have or your neighbors, or we'll have volunteers do these things. I'm just wondering about that because I don't know. And number two, this is just seems to me a ripe situation that whatever the government does in any country, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. If they close the society, people are going to go bankrupt. If they open the society, people are going to get sick and you're going to have a higher death toll. And it seems to me ripe for all of these subversive political movements, especially the left, to really just have a perfect conditions to be able to infect their population with unhappiness, saying, look, you're losing your businesses, whatever. We have to overthrow this government. We're going to take care of you. It's very attractive for people who have lost their business, who are finding it hard that they don't have a salary coming in anymore because they've lost their jobs because of business. I mean, this is perfect breeding ground for these communistic, socialistic mindsets to come in and take over. So in the last 1 minute that we have, what would your answer be?
Well, it's absolutely true. I mean, from the beginning, anybody over 65, let's say, or 67, sort of retirees, whether they're still working or not, should be in total self-imposed lockdown. That's what we're doing. And so should everyone else be doing it. One of the good things about a total lockdown is that it shocks people into recognition that this thing, hey, you know, this thing is really serious, and we got to do something drastic in order to nip it in the bud, in order to save the economy, because whatever might be lost over a full total shutdown of 2 to 3 weeks, and then go back to the drawing board, is going to be outweighed by continued months of yes shutdown and no shutdown. Try to get it over with and put it into manageable proportions. The threat to the economy is by the level of morbidity, not by the level of mortality. And just saving people like us from dying, is not, sorry to say, but, you know, facts of life and death are that this is not the main issue for the survival of the economy. The main issue for the survival of the economy is whether this pandemic in other words, worldwide pandemic, is somehow going to be brought under control until there can be a vaccine or other ways of better treating it, etc.
Well, and we're going to have to leave it there, Aaron. We're going to have to leave it there. We've run out of time, but I want to thank you very much. A very stimulating conversation that we've had and some very interesting points that you've brought up and that we've discussed. Thank you for coming on the show. And I want to remember, I want to remind everybody that you can find him at the CovenantAlliance.org website, CovenantAlliance.org. Yes. His name is Aaron Bronstein. We will link to that on the show, on the page where our show is podcasted.
Please write to me there and realize that our main purpose is the worldwide struggle against totalitarianism that would place man above God, or that would place a religion above God, like the...
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute. Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.